This evening, we're wrapping up our study on the importance of cultivating Christian character. But before we fix our focus on the content of this final study, we should take a moment to recap what we've learned so far. It'll help us to remember. We began this study by first considering the connection between Christian character and biblical convictions. You see, without biblically based convictions, all we're left with is our own personal opinions. And listen, personal opinions are always subject to change depending on the circumstances in the situation. That being the case, the Christian who fails to embrace biblically based convictions will also fail to cultivate Christian character. Therefore, the first step towards the cultivation of Christian character, it's to see the Bible as the foundation for all of our convictions. Well, then during the second study of this series, we spent our time considering the connection between character and compassion. It was during that study when we discovered that the disciple who is cultivating Christian character according to biblical convictions will begin to develop a sympathetic concern for those we see suffering. And as a result, we become believers who begin to demonstrate the compassionate love of the Lord as we care for the concerns of others according to the merciful benevolence of our Savior Jesus. Then in our third study, we spent our time focusing on the importance of courage. And it was during that study when we considered the connection between courage and character. Simply put, the Christian who lacks courage will fail to cultivate Christian character. And the reason why, well, it's due to the fact that the Christian who's lacking in courage will always fail to take a stand with our Savior Jesus. And therefore, we must become courageous Christians in order to cultivate Christian character. Well, then in our study last week, we learned about the connection between our character and our contentment. Not only that, but we also learned about the conflict and the contrast between contentment and covetousness. And it was during that study when we discovered that the covetous Christian will fail to cultivate Christian character. And in contrast to this, the Christian who will learn how to be content with the perfect provision of the Lord will begin to demonstrate the character of our Savior Jesus. Well, now here we are in our study tonight. We're going to spend our time focusing on the connection between character and commitment. With this as the focus, if you would, let's open our Bibles now to Luke chapter 9. And as you make your way to the ninth chapter of Luke, I want to take a moment to point out that there is a strong connection between character and commitment. Now, in order to grasp this connection, it's first important for us to remember that those who want to cultivate Christian character must first embrace biblical convictions so that we can become believers who are compassionate, courageous, and content. And at the same time, it's also important to note that the disciples of Christ are expected to become believers who are completely committed to the moral qualities of Christian character. We are to become committed to being compassionate, courageous, and content Christians. This commitment to the cultivation of Christian character, it ought to be maintained regardless of the trials, regardless of the troubles and the temptations that might cause us to stumble. In other words, those who are committed to cultivating Christian character will continue to keep their commitment even when it becomes inconvenient to do so. The reason why is due to the fact that our commitment is actually a humble dedication to our Savior. Those who are committed to cultivating Christian character, they're humbly dedicating themselves to the Lord. And not only that, but our commitment to the cultivation of Christian character, it stems from our relational devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in that way, we see the way that commitment and devotion are synonymous as it applies to our spiritual relationship with Jesus. And so with all of this as our focus, let's consider the level of commitment that the Lord Jesus was encouraging here in the final verses of Luke chapter 9. If you would look with me there at Luke 9, I want to draw your attention there to verse 57. Here Luke tells us that it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Wow. Here in these verses, we find the Lord Jesus. He's challenging those people who were giving him just little more than lip service. It would be easy for us to read these verses and think that the Lord Jesus was asking way too much of these men. I mean, what's wrong with this guy going and burying his father? What's wrong with this guy going and saying farewell to those at his house? Why would the Lord Jesus challenge these men in this way? Well, it's important to understand that the Lord Jesus knew that these men were only making excuses for why they weren't actually willing to follow him. Jesus was saying to these men, follow me. And these men were like, yeah, I'm going to follow you, but let me go take care of some stuff over here. You know, the guy with the dead father? No, his father wasn't dead. He wasn't even dying. He was basically saying, hey, let me go and wait for my father to die. And then when he eventually dies, then I'll have time to follow you. You know what? Let me go and take care of everybody at my house first. And then when everyone at my house is taken care of, then I'll have time to follow you. Oh, you want me to follow you? I'll follow you anywhere. Hey, I'm homeless. Oh, I won't follow you anywhere. These guys were all making excuses for why they weren't actually going to follow Jesus. And you know, I get this because I find myself making similar excuses. For example, last week I was out riding my mountain bike with some friends of mine, and we came to this extremely technical section, which I knew it was above my skill level. And so they're all just kind of like, come on, follow me over this cliff. And I'm just kind of like, you know, I just kind of fell last week, and I'm kind of, my arm's hurting, and you know, the trail's a little wet, it just rained here, and a whole lot of leaves on the ground right now, and all these excuses for the fact that I'm just saying, you know, I'm too afraid to do this. I'm unwilling to follow those guys off that rock right there, because I know I'm going to fall, and I'm just too afraid to do it. It would have been better for me to just announce my fear, rather than making all these excuses for why I'm unwilling to follow my friends. These guys, that's what they were doing. They were making excuses. I would follow you, but I really don't want to. And here's my excuses why. These men here in Luke chapter 9, they recognized the value of following Jesus. However, they weren't willing to commit themselves wholeheartedly to the service of the Lord. And while the Lord Jesus could have given them kudos for their desire to follow him, he could have said, well, at least you want to. No, he didn't. No, instead he challenged the double-minded disciples who failed to become fully committed Christians. I like the way that James put it. In the first chapter of his epistle, there he described doubting disciples as being double-minded and therefore unstable in all of their ways, not in some of their ways. The double-minded disciple is unstable in every single way imaginable. The Christian who fails to be completely committed to Christ Jesus will fail to cultivate Christian character. And the reason why is due to the fact that it's impossible to follow Jesus when we're still holding on to the things that keep us from moving forward in faith. You can't follow Jesus and hold on to the world. It's impossible. In order to further grasp the importance of becoming believers who are fully committed to Christ, we should consider the situation that John recorded in his gospel account. And so if you would, let's turn in our Bibles now to John chapter 6. And as you make your way to the 6th chapter of John's gospel account, I want to take a moment to remind you that there were multitudes who followed Jesus for a short season. Multitudes followed him. Many of them became his disciples, and yet for the wrong reasons. And it was only a matter of time until their lack of commitment was completely manifest. With this in mind, let's consider the situation found here in John chapter 6. Here we find a group of followers offended by the teachings of Jesus. And I want to jump into the middle of this story, beginning at verse 60. It's there at John 6, verse 60, where John tells us that many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" They heard a teaching that they didn't quite grasp, and they were offended by it. Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Here in these verses, we find this group of disciples. They're offended by the words of the Lord Jesus, and they reject the words of the Lord Jesus, and they turn away from following the Lord Jesus. As a result, their decision to depart was actually the evidence that they were never really committed followers of Christ Jesus in the first place. You see, those who are truly committed followers of Christ Jesus will recognize the words of the Lord are the words of eternal life. In order to prove my point, let's continue to consider John's account found here in John chapter 6. Look with me there, beginning at verse 67. Here we learn that Jesus turns and says to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Here in these verses, we find the Apostle Peter announcing his complete commitment to Christ Jesus. And we must not fail to recognize that his commitment to continue following the Lord was based on the fact that he realized that the Lord Jesus is the Christ who alone has the words of life. And while it's true that Peter's commitment was put to the test on the night of Christ's arrest, Peter recovered from that failure of faith, and he went on to demonstrate his complete commitment to Christ on the day when he himself was crucified upside down because of his commitment. In light of his example, I must insist that the person who has come to believe and know that Jesus is the Christ will also realize that he's also the Son of the living God who alone has the words of eternal life. And listen, if Jesus alone has the words of eternal life, then we will do well to become Christians who are completely committed to the convictions that come from his holy word. And then, as we embrace the biblical convictions that come from his holy word, we will also become believers who are committed to the Christ-like qualities of compassion and courage and contentment. And simply put, those who want to cultivate Christian character must first become believers who are completely committed to Christ. Not only that, but the cultivation of Christian character also includes a commitment to our calling in Christ. And with this in mind, let's turn in our Bibles now to 2 Timothy chapter 4. You see, it's in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy where we find Paul encouraging Pastor Timothy to remain committed to his pastoral calling. And as you make your way to 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to take a moment to point out that Paul's letters to Timothy, they lead me to think that Timothy actually struggled with his calling. I believe that Timothy was a man who struggled with his calling. And if so, then it's no wonder why Paul was constantly challenging him to stay the course with an unwavering commitment. With this as the focus, let's consider how Paul puts it here in his second letter to Pastor Timothy. Look with me there at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to begin reading at verse 1 where Paul declares, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and notice, fulfill your ministry." Fulfill your ministry. Paul here is encouraging Pastor Timothy to fulfill the ministry to which he was called. And while Paul realized that there would be those who would turn aside and there would be those who would fall away and there would be those who would break Timothy's heart and cause him to question his calling, Paul challenged Timothy to keep his eyes on the finish line so that he could accomplish his calling in Christ Jesus, so that he could fulfill his ministry. In order to help him understand the importance of this commitment, Paul then appeals to his own example. As a matter of fact, look with me again there at 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll pick up at verse 6. Here Paul goes on to declare, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Here in these verses, we find Paul, he's pointing Timothy to his own example of what it looks like for a Christian to remain committed to our calling until we've completed the ministry that the Lord has given us. And would it be to God that we would all become believers who are cultivating Christian character by committing ourselves to accomplishing our calling in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, we'll just end up following in the footsteps of the disciple named Demas. In order to explain what I mean, let's look again here at 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll pick up there at verse 9 where Paul goes on to write, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica." Now, I want to stop there because here in these verses we find Paul, he's describing the desertion of the disciple named Demas. And while Paul doesn't tell us specifically what Demas was doing, he sums it up here by telling Timothy that Demas loved the world more than he loved the Lord. He loved the world more than he loved the Lord. And it's sad to say that I've seen the same scenario play out in the lives of many believers who failed to stay the course with a faithful commitment to Christ. They simply loved the things of this world more than they loved the Lord. And what they all fail to realize is that the end of this road is always carnal corruption. With this as the focus, let's turn in our Bibles now to Galatians chapter 6. And as you make your way to the sixth chapter of Galatians, I want to take a moment to point out that the believer who is unwilling to let go of their love for this world, they will fail to cultivate Christian character that comes from a commitment to Christ. Remember, you can't hold on to the world and follow the Lord. These Christians always return to the path of corruption, which most certainly always results in rebuke. Let's consider how Paul puts it here in Galatians chapter 6. If you would look with me there, beginning at verse 7, here Paul declares, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Here in these verses we find Paul, he's helping the Christians in Galatia to understand that those who spend their time living for the lusts of the flesh end up reaping the rotten fruit of their decisions. Those who spend time living for the lusts of the flesh end up reaping the rotten fruit of their decisions. And with that being the case, I hope you'll take my word for it. The lusts of the flesh and the lusts of this world, they aren't worth the sorrows that they bring. They aren't. It seems like pleasure, and it is up front. But on the back end, it's always punishment, it's always rebuke, and it's always heartbreak, and it's rotten fruit. The consequences of carnality will eventually catch up with the Christian. It's just a matter of time. And if you're planting bad seed into your life today, it's only a matter of time until it bears fruit. And it's going to be rotten fruit that you're forced to consume. That being the case, I encourage every believer to embrace the encouragement that Paul presented in Colossians chapter 4, where he declared, "Take heed to the ministry which you received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it." Rather than looking back to the lusts of the flesh, rather than holding on to the lusts of this world, take heed to the ministry which you received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. And you might be thinking, well, I don't know what ministry that is. Well, get a grip and find out. Get focused and figure it out. Spend some time in prayer. Seek the leaders of your church to guide you and direct you so that you can discover what your calling in Christ is. And then when you find out what your calling in Christ is, complete it, fulfill it, be committed. The disciples of Christ should be committed to the ministry that he's called us to accomplish, because I guarantee you that he has a ministry for you. We're saved by faith, but for what reason? We are saved by faith unto good works, that we should accomplish them. The disciples of Christ should be committed to the ministry that he's called us to accomplish, and as we do, we will cultivate Christian character as we continue fighting the good fight of faith until the day when we finally cross over the finish line of life. And so we see then that those who want to cultivate Christian character should be committed to Christ, and we should be committed to his calling. Not only that, but we should also become believers who are committed to the Christians here at our Fellowship of Faith. And with this as the focus, let's turn in our Bibles to the second chapter of Acts, where we find Luke presenting us with a snapshot of the early church. And as you make your way to Acts chapter 2, I want to take a moment to point out that there are many Christians in the church today who are failing to cultivate Christian character. And one reason why is due to the fact that they never fully commit themselves to one Fellowship of Faith. These believers become consumers who hop from church to church just looking for the blessings. Well, you know, what church is doing something exciting next week? That's where I'm going to go. Rather than giving, they're just taking. Rather than serving, they just want to go sit and soak and receive the attention. But there's no real commitment. It's just consumerism. Then there are those who are quick to leave their church the very second they get challenged. Rather than remaining committed to their fellowship of faith by receiving a rebuke and responding with repentance, there are many in the church today who disregard the doctrine that brings correction, and instead they just go find a church where biblical doctrine is replaced with exciting stories so long as it's not challenging. As a result, it's this lack of commitment that causes these Christians to maintain their corrupt character. In contrast to this, the believers in the early church, they were completely committed Christians. And as a result, they were cultivating Christian character. As a matter of fact, look with me here at Acts chapter 2. We'll begin reading there at verse 42. Here we learn that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all and anyone that had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, here in these verses, we find this group of disciples who are completely committed to the Christians there in their fellowship of faith. And one reason why is because this was the only church in town. Now, they didn't have another church they could run off to the minute times got tough, you know. And now, all you got to do is pop down the street and there's another church. Look across the corner and there's another church. And so if things get tough here, I can just run down the road. They didn't have that back in the early church. They had the one church there in Jerusalem at the very beginning, and that's the only church they had. And so they were committed to one another. They gave what they could. They served as they should. And as a result, those who placed their faith in Jesus Christ began to cultivate Christian character because they had to. As a result, their lives made an impact on the unbelievers around them there in Jerusalem. And with that being the case, I can't help but to notice the connection between our level of commitment here at church and the number of converts that we end up leading to Jesus Christ. Christian, listen, if you aren't excited to spend time with the other believers here at your church, then why would an unbeliever ever ask you about the church you're spending so much time at? You know, when we're talking about things that we're excited about, other people want to hear about it and they want to know about it. And so if you're never excited about church, you're never going to make an impact on the unbelievers around you. Why would an unbeliever ever ask you about the church that you dread going to? Why would an unbeliever ever ask about our Christian community if they know that we'd rather be with them at their secular event? Please trust me when I tell you that the Christian who wants to make an impact on the unbelievers around us, we should first become believers who are committed to the Christian church that the Lord has called us to attend. Let's become believers who are completely committed to the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Let's become believers who are completely committed to the breaking of bread and to corporate prayer and to the fellowship of our faith. And as we commit ourselves to serving the Lord here at our Fellowship of Faith, the Lord will then begin to use us to make an impact on the unbelievers around us. If they see that we're excited about our church, well, they're going to be intrigued at least. And at best, begin to ask questions about maybe showing up. It's for this reason that Paul even encouraged the Hebrew believers to maintain their commitment to their Christian community so that they could make an impact on the world around them. It's Hebrews chapter 10 where Paul declares, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Christian, listen, if you really want to cultivate Christian character, and you should want to, then I encourage you to hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering. And while our flesh will come up with all sorts of reasons for why we should forsake our Christian assembly, I encourage every believer to continue cultivating Christian character through the spiritual commitment that keeps us plugged in here at our Fellowship of Faith. And while our flesh will give us every reason to stop serving and to step down and to be upset with the person that rebuked you and to think that maybe it's better down the street at that other church, and rather than engaging in all of this, you know, wishy-washy waverness, we should be committed Christians. Committed Christians who maintain our fellowship with the other believers at our church. Now, as we begin to wrap up this series, I realize that we all lack the ability in and of ourselves to cultivate Christian character. And as we've made our way through this study and we've considered what it means to cultivate Christian character, I'm guessing that there's been many times that we've all had that thought of, I can't do that. There's no way I can maintain that. And you're correct if you've thought that. There's no way for us in our flesh to cultivate Christian character. And the reason why is because we're all still in our fallen flesh. We're still struggling with the sinful desires of our carnal nature. And with that being the case, we all face temptations each and every day that cause us to second-guess biblical convictions. And as a result, it's all too often that we find ourselves failing to maintain our commitment to becoming believers who are always compassionate and courageous and content. And as a result, it's possible that many of us here this evening think all hope is lost. There's no way for me to become that kind of Christian. And if that's how you feel as we've made our way through this short series, I just want to leave you off with a very important promise that the Lord made to those who trust in him. It's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul assures his audience of this. He says that we can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible? He who began a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, this process of sanctification by which we cultivate Christian character, it's going to be completed. It might not feel like that today. You might be looking at your life thinking, I'm never going to become that kind of Christian. It seems impossible. And yet, biblically speaking, it's going to happen. If you've placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says he's going to complete that good work. And he's going to complete that good work according to the power of the Lord and all for the glory of God. And so while it's true that we will probably continue to waver in our faith, we will continue to waver in our commitment to Jesus Christ, we can still rejoice in knowing that he's going to get the work done. We might struggle in our commitment to him, but he will never struggle in his commitment to us. He will never give up on us. And he will continue to accomplish the good work of our sanctification until the day when the character of Christ is fully cultivated in our lives. And so I'm not asking you to cultivate Christian character by the power of your flesh. I'm encouraging you to walk by faith. Walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and continue walking by faith with the one who has promised that he will complete the good work in us. He will continue to cultivate in us his character until we become just like him. He will continue to accomplish his good work in our lives until we're standing in his presence, worshiping him forevermore. Let's pray.